Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. It's your host, Vic. I'm back at you, live and direct again. This time I don't have a co-host. If I think I might have a co-host coming, I really think Chris is going to call in and talk mad garbage. But right now I'm having technical difficulties with my switchboard. I'm not able to see if he's there or not. However, I do know that someone is in our chat room and waiting to chat up a storm, which I am more than willing to do. Again, this is Fantasy Sports and Politics. I'm your host, Vic. And this week on Fantasy Sports and Politics, we will discuss possible hiring and firings in the NFL, the final week of the NFL, as well as possibly the end of all fantasy football leagues, one way or the other, whether it's a playoff edition or if it's the championship, it doesn't matter. It should be the end of one of the two. I'm proud, very, very proud to say that I did come out on top in the $2,000 league, which was a very, very tough game. As a matter of fact, I scored the least amount of points I have ever scored the entire year. This past week and came out as the champion. Now, had I played anybody else this week, I would be a sapsucker looking for a reason to, blame this, that, and the other for the reason as to why I lost. And, yeah, I think I was right. It's Chris. Chris, you're going to stay on hold for a minute. I'm going to get my time in because I know I'm going to have to put up with this barrage of cowboy clutter and all this other muckety muck because my team, the Washington Redskins, got shut out by the stupid, stinking Dallas Cowboys. However, I caveat that loss by saying that we've been bad all year long, and I can't say anything about it. We just stink, plain and simple. We stink. But at any rate, let me talk about a few other things before I bring Chris on the air, and he's going to try to dominate the show because that's what Cowboys try to do, dominate, and he's probably going to say they dominated the Redskins, which they did in all facets of the game. 2 weeks in a row, we laid an egg. Can't talk too positively about that because there's nothing much positive to say other than the Washington Redskins are in need of a makeover, a big-time makeover. Anyway, we're going to do our stardom sit-ems. We're going to do our pick-ems. We're going to do a couple other things. I want to hear from you guys, see how you did this fantasy season. If you listen to the show throughout the season, I want to know, has the information that we've given you helped you win your championship, get into the championship, make the playoffs, or, make smart fantasy decisions? I really want to know if this show has helped you a lot. But we'll see what happens. Let me bring this call on the air, which I know is going to be Chris, and I have some questions in the chat room that I'm going to respond to in a minute. Take my beating like a man. Yes, Chris, how are you?
Happy New Year! All I got to say is this is a great way to start off the 2010 year with me as your first caller and co-host. Time to restore order.
Well, speaking of that, that's how I restore your order.
Well,
but,
All I got to say is you said it all, and I'm not going to waste any of your time talking about the dead.
Don't even do it. All right, let me do this real quick because the person was in the chat room. I wanted to address them real quick. It's guest 1374. Well, thanks for listening, 1374. Happy New Year. Thanks for having an intelligent and classy show. It's much better than the two rednecks last later tonight, but I don't need to go there. I think Fantasy League should have championships on week 16 and a postseason exhibition on week 17. It could be called the Pro Bowl, and $50 goes to the highest-scoring team. I was hoping the Cowboys would choke and put my Giants into the playoffs. No such luck. Guess 37, you ended by saying Deadskins? I had respect for you until then, dude. But anyway, it's all good, my friend. It's all good. Chris is going to give me a lot more of that. But thank you for calling the show classy and intelligent. I don't know how classy we are, but we do try to give out a lot of thoughtful information so that you, the listener, and listeners out there can make a sound decision on your fantasy leagues. And if you're playing for money, win the money. If you're playing for pride, beat all your friends. If you're playing for a shirt or a trophy or whatever, you know, we want you to get that. And hopefully we helped a lot of folks get that. He says, I took my lumps as a high scorer in a league who didn't make the playoffs. I took my lumps in another league as an expansion team in a deep keeper league. It's all good. Hey, you know what? That's what happens when you play fantasy football. You know, I'm in one of Chris's leagues, and I'm at the bottom of the barrel. Even though I'm winning in my playoff games, you know, I was still one of the worst teams there. But that was probably the worst team I've had all season long. But, you know, you can't win them all. Just try to make better decisions next year, man. But go ahead, Chris. I'm going to let you go off on your barrage, but let me get this phone number out. If you want to call into this show, please dial 347-637-3220. The number again is 347-637-3220. And if you want to go to our website, you can go to www.fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Again, that's www.fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. And when you go there, I'm making one change. You do not have to buy a playoff fantasy team to get into this playoff challenge I have. The reason why is because I want to do it for free. You know, I want to start the year off right. I want to give something out there to those. I might have a prize for the winner. It's at NFL.com. It's called Fantasy Sports and Politics. If you go there at NFL.com and look up Fantasy Sports and Politics and request to join, I'll send you the password and you can join. Or you can just go to the website at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com and purchase a team. Now, I'll refund your $10 back, although I can also put it up there for free. But I'll let you all get in for free, and I might give away something, you know, just to be a good sport and stuff like that. So go there, check it out, and do what you got to do. Go ahead, Chris. Let me have it.
Look, like I said, you've said enough. There's no need to, you know, keep stomping on you. I mean, failure to score a touchdown the entire season against the team, it's painful enough, but that's just the truth. So I have prepared a list, and you know, in lieu of that, I have prepared a list. I have prepared a list of resolutions for you because it's a new year, these will help you improve your broadcasting and your show. From now on until the end of the NFL season, you are prohibited from speaking or mentioning the Cowboys. And the other part of the resolution is, during now that the NFL season has ended, you're only allowed to discuss the Redskins once a month unless they add a player or make a significant change to a coaching staff as we move forward. The other time needs to be occupied by basketball. Those are the two resolutions on the list.
I tell you what, because those things you mentioned about the Redskins are about to happen, you know, it's going to be, what, 1 week?
Most likely, yeah, that's
when he's gone. So,
most likely, it might come in early for you.
You know. So I'll deal with that one. However, since the playoffs are here, I have to talk about the Cowboys, and they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you can't. You see, you have to.
I can't defame them. I know.
Realistically, you can't say things like "don't sit them" because I don't like them. You had Jerry,
I know.
Jerry saying sit Jason Witten. He put up 100 yards.
Well, Jerry, he was on my side. He was giving me a Christmas gift.
You had Ricky saying, "Start Jason Campbell." I'm like, what guys are these guys watching?
Hey, look, dude. I'm gonna let you have your fun.
I'm not even being that mad.
I know you have it. You have it. You know what? You could have been hosting the show, or at least 5 minutes of the show.
I always do it. There's no need to do that.
I'm gonna hang up on you, fool.
No. That's another one of the resolutions. There's no more hanging up on me.
Oh, no. That is my fun.
As the executive producer, you cannot hang up on me.
Now you're an executive producer?
Yes, I am the executive producer.
I didn't see your name in any of the credits. However, you know
my
what I'll do
My name is
for
always
you?
In the show, some way, somehow.
No. Here's what I'll do for you. At the website, I'll add you to the staff. You'll be the gopher or the fluff.
See, that's my plan.
No. Seriously. On the website, what I'll do is I'll go ahead and add you there as a contributor. You know, it's like sports reporters. You have many different hosts. I mean, you have many different panelists, but there's always one host, and, you know, I don't mind doing that. I mean, you and Jerry have offered a lot to the show, which has been a great help, especially when Ricky has been able to make it due to his work schedule. And, I mean, you know, a good rivalry is a good rivalry, and it helps drive sports. So I can't knock you for that, but of course.
Well, I will say, Rick, the best shows we do come up during Redskins Cowboys week. They are good.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, we can go on and on for days. Like, last show, if you guys didn't hear the last show, it went on for 2.5 hours. I only said it for 1.5 hours. So we spoke off air for about 1 hour more, and that's in the archives. I don't know how many people took the time to listen to a 2.5 hour show. But it was pretty impactful and pretty heavy. I mean, we talked about a lot of stuff after the mics went dead to the live listeners. But at any rate, let's get on with the show because we spent a little bit of time just talking. First of all, I want to thank the Fantasy Sports Channel for allowing us to be on the air on their network. That's something that took place just before the football season started, and I'm very thankful for them for allowing us to do that because it helps us reach a lot of new listeners, and hopefully a lot of people learned and got information from us on that. Also want to thank Hit the Ropes, which is also on Blog Talk Radio. They're a bunch of guys that talk about wrestling, but they're really cool. If you get a chance, check them out. I used to play their promo. I recently updated some of my promos, so I no longer have them in my my promo registry. Also, MMA. I want to thank MMA. They've posted some good stuff for us. And by the way, I'm a big MMA fan, so check out UFC 108, Rashad Evans versus, oh, my God, I forgot the guy's name. I think it's Silva. I think that's going to be a good fight. Also, I want to thank the Minister of Motivation, a very good friend of mine, Dr. Walter Sims, Rev, whatever you want to call him, good friend of mine. He's doing his own show as well. Check him out on Friday nights, 10 Central, I believe it is. But anyway, let's talk about this upcoming week's games, man. What do you see out there that's going to be tough for people to get on?
What do you mean by that?
You know, like a tough game for people to pick.
Oh, Dallas Philly.
Really?
That's going to be a good game. I mean, I think Dallas is going to win by 10 points, but most people feel like it's going to be very close, and it could be. I mean, remember, that's for the NFC East. That game has a lot to it, you know. Dallas, Philly, NFC East potential. I think if Dallas wins, they can get a bye, or if Philly wins, they can get a bye. That probably is the game of the week.
I mean, yeah, it is. It is. It is. And, you know, I don't think that it's going to be a big deal for anybody to dispute that, even though you're looking at the fact that Minnesota has to win this week as well to get that bye. And I think they're going to play Brett and AP, even though they've already locked up a spot. So another interesting thing is Drew Brees is sitting. For those that are having their championships this week, you know, Drew Brees is going to be the third-string quarterback for the Saints, and Mark Brunell is going to start. So what does that mean? Pick up Mike Bell, because they're not going to run Pierre Thomas. Reggie Bush might get a little go. Oh,
he's
Mike
out.
Bell's out?
No, Pierre Thomas is out.
I know. He's not playing.
So
that's what I'm saying.
Reggie Bush and Mike Bell.
Yeah. I know fat guys on fantasy. I knew Adrian was going to play. That's what I'm saying. They're going to play. They're playing all their starters because they're trying to get that first week bye. I already know that. I'm replying to what fat guys on fantasy is posting in the chat room. Also, guest 1374, I agree with you. Playing for money weeds out a lot of the losers and bozos as well, because if you're playing for enough money, you're playing people that want to actually be in fantasy football and give their all. I mean, yeah, my wife, she says, like my second wife, I spend more time doing this show and you know, preparing the 20 different fantasy football leagues that I run and participate in than anything else. So you got to love the game and you got to play for the money. So that's why I love playing for big money, whether it's $1,000, $500, $2,000, something like that. By the way, you could have congratulated me on getting my $2,000 pot, Chris, but I guess I have to do it myself, so I'll do it like this. If it plays any day now. Thank you.
You just congratulated yourself twice.
I had to. Also, no disrespect to any fantasy show that's out there, you know, but I honestly think that Fantasy Sports and Politics is got to be one of the best shows. We might not have all of the dialogue or dialect that everybody else has, but we're pretty damn good. And because of that, I'm putting every show on notice. And here's what I'm about to tell you right now.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
That's all they get, Chris. That's all they get.
Okay.
That's all they get. I can't give them any more.
You know what, Vic? I want to get something off my chest.
Go ahead. What you got?
This has been irritating me to no end. That... Number one, I live in the New York market, so I had to hear the pre and the post media of everything that happened with the Jets. You didn't get to hear all of it or any
of
it.
Nah, I didn't.
But what happened in that Colts-Jets game Sunday is absolutely disgusting.
Well,
no,
it's not,
the way they
I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about.
Let me get off my chest.
All right.
If you're number one, just tell me some of the fallout that happened since. If you're pursuing history, you go out there, you play to win the game. You don't start your guys, play them for a half and a few downs, and then pull them because you think some injury might happen. What, an injury couldn't have happened in the first half? That's ridiculous. That makes no sense whatsoever. How much more are you going to rest these guys? Now you pull them. What, are you going to rest them next week, and then you're going to buy, rest them again? They're not going to be in sync. They're going to be out of rhythm. Now, in the Colts marketplace, the GM/president Nick Polian, or Bill Polian, whichever it is, does an own radio show. The callers of Colts fans were so irate that they called in, complained about this. He canceled his show prematurely. The station switched to country music and played because the calls were so heated. And they referred to it as a forfeit. In the media market in New York, Rex Ryan was, prior to the game, said, yeah, I hope it would rest their starters. Now, when they were in Indianapolis post-game, they were a little more gracious and not talking so much about how they got their win. They get back to New York 3 days later. Now they're talking about they won. We did all this. We stopped them. Our defense did that. Absurd. And I'm listening to, you know Mike Francesa on The Fan? Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
He went on a tirade ripping them for 2 hours, calling them a charity case. You can't have it both ways. You guys did one. The offense couldn't do anything. Peyton Manning ripped through your defense when he came back in and scored a touchdown. You're not going to win that game. You know, so and the basically the word around the league is, man, these guys sort of lucked in, lost their way, backed their way into the playoffs.
Correct.
I'm just telling you from that standpoint, you know, and if you remember that week, I asked you about Austin Collins. I said, what do you think is going to happen?
I told you. What did I tell you?
No, you said you didn't think his ability would change. He didn't do a damn thing after they put Curtis Painter in, and neither did anybody else offensively.
But that wasn't the question. The question was who would have the better week. And Austin Collins had the better week. He didn't get the touchdown that Holmes got, but he had more yards and he had more receptions.
No, that must, there were two questions. There was that question, and then I asked you the second question. So what I'm saying to you is, you know, that cost a lot. Because of that indecisive half play, I think that might have cost a lot of fantasy players a number of games.
Oh, well, I wanted to address that, too, because, I mean, Jerry's going to come on the air probably, like, with 10 minutes left, and we're going to talk about it, too. But here's my thought process on it. You know, I think that the players wanted to play, and they should have played. However, they did not. So, and that week, what did we talk about? We talked about who was going to sit. We had a whole, like, 15-minute segment about the Colts sitting players and people sitting players. And, you know, it turned out being true. Peyton played for three quarters, two and a half, really.
Even less than that, but go ahead.
Yeah, or two and a drive. And then, you know, Clark and Wayne and all those other guys got pulled. Collie then got all the play, and then that backup quarterback got trounced. Now, here's my deal. As far as the Jets go, they have a very good defense. Their offense is very, very suspect. If you take out Thomas Jones, you can't rely on anybody else on that offense. I'm sorry.
I don't want to say suspect because they lead the league in rushing. They have a very young rookie quarterback because they have Dustin Keller, Braylon Edwards, Jericho Koster is a very good receiving core that will get better as soon as that quarterback improves. You know, that's a big part of it. It's the ineptitude of the quarterback position.
Well,
when you lead the league in rushing, that's usually what that means. Your quarterback isn't a great passer.
Well, that's what I'm saying, that if you take Thomas Jones out of the equation, you have a team there that is not capable of doing much. Now, as far as, you know, them bragging about winning and whatnot, fine, let them brag, because this week they're playing a team that's in the same situation, except Marvin Lewis is saying, we're not sitting our folks. They're saying, yes, they might sit some people. Okay, you sit Cedric Benson. You got Larry Johnson, who's probably a harder runner than Cedric Benson, with a better offensive line. Chad Ochocinco has already made it known he's not coming off the field because he wants Darrelle Revis all day. He wants to escape off of Revis' island. Carson Palmer, he'll play because they still have a chance. No, they don't have a chance at a bye week. It's going to be – okay, so – okay, you might see Palmer's brother, Jordan Palmer, who isn't that bad, but he's not as good as Carson. But Laverne's Coast has done pretty much nothing this year, so that gives Caldwell a chance to play more in the slot as a second receiver, who has been good. Chad's going to stay on the field. I'm sorry. He's going to stay on the field, period. I don't know what Marvin's going to do to him because he's not coming off, but he's going to stay on the field. That defense is top five defense? They're not resting those guys. I mean, and here's the funny thing. None of the Bengals have made the Pro Bowl. You got a team there that is working as a team, and none of them have made the Pro Bowl. So I'm looking at the fact that the Jets are going to run into a buzzsaw. They're going to have to play to win the game. I'm going to quote Mr. Herman, you play to win the game, and that's the deal. The Colts didn't do that last week. The Jets have to do that this week, and that means that Braylon Edwards is going to have to learn how to catch the ball better. Plain and simple. He went from a number one fantasy receiver 2 years ago to a flex receiver, you know, in a deep league. You know what I'm saying? Cotchery, same deal. Number one receiver to maybe a three because Sanchez he's not ready to take over that team. Dustin Keller fell off the map without Brett Favre, and he has potential to be like Chris Cooley. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm looking at the fact that the Jets, they don't use what they have completely because they're not that good offensively. When they play, and this is why this game could be considered the game of the week as well. When they play Cincinnati this week, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I don't know. Is that in New York or is it in Cincinnati? I'm not sure.
That game's in New York at 8 o'clock, I think.
That's the 8 o'clock game? Okay.
Yeah, because you know what it is, 8 o'clock, because they canceled all
the flex
alcohol
one.
Sales.
It's the flex one?
Yeah, they made it 8 o'clock, and they got rid of all alcohol sales.
Okay, that's cool. Thanks for that. But here's what I'm saying about that. You're looking at teams who do that want to freaking make the playoffs. That's fine. Let them do it. Every time the Colts have done this, when they've had nothing to play for, they've always lost in the first round that they've played in the playoffs. This year might be the same. It might be the same thing because they have really nothing to play for right now. Let me see. Guest 1374 says, I remember when I was a kid in 1984, the Giants needed the Dolphins to beat the Cowboys to make the playoffs. If it was a Monday night game, that was meaningless for the Dolphins. The Dolphins showed up and won. Three cheers for Don Shula. Now, here's another deal, and this is I'm going to tell you another reason why I hate the Cowboys. Thank you, guest 1374, because you
brought
something up.
Are we back on that? What did I tell you?
No.
We're having a meaningful conversation, and now you're going to talk about the 1984 loss?
No, this is what the dude said. This is what he said. I'm going to correlate. Yes, it is. I'm about to correlate it. The Dallas Cowboys played the San Francisco 49ers, I believe it was about the same time frame, 85, 86, something like that. And the Redskins needed the Cowboys to win that game to make the playoffs. The Cowboys were already in. They were already in. And I don't know how if you remember this game or not, but the Cowboys went out and laid an egg. And, you know, I'm not saying they had to win for us because that's just nature of the game. If you win, you win. You lose, you lose. They set their players. And the same conversely, when RFK closed, Barry Switzer did the same thing. He set all of his players because, you know, they were in the playoffs. He didn't care. And he let the Redskins beat the crap out of the Cowboys. Cowboys, I believe, still went on to win the Super Bowl that year. But at the same time, when you rest these players like that, things happen, man. You got to think about it. It's crazy to do that stuff. I mean, that's just my thought process on it. I mean, play my players.
I'm not worried about the last game. I'm talking about what the Colts did in Week 15, the way they did it.
Yeah.
And you don't toss away being perfect because they still talk about the 72 Dolphins. You just don't do it.
Well, you got to look at it this way. If the organization had been saying for weeks that is not their pursuit, and Bill Polian went on NFL Network and said, okay, they were going after two records, and one was the longest NFL regular season win streak, which they took from the Patriots, and being the most winningest team in the decade. And regardless of what happens this week, they'll still have that record. That's what he said on NFL Network. Now, how true that is, I don't know.
Right.
Do they think they could?
That's a statement.
I mean, if they thought they could beat the Jets with their backup quarterback and backup defense, which isn't all that great,
who never played before.
Yeah, you know, it's a sad state of affairs, but that is what happens. That is what happens. And, you know, I think that you got to look at the big picture. Sean Payton, you know, he wanted to make it perfect for the people of New Orleans. You know, he wanted to. Then he went out and lost two straight. Okay? Can't say how they laid an egg with Tampa, but they did. Perfection is something that is sought for. But if you don't have the right chemistry, you're not going to get it. The Patriots had the right chemistry at the right time. They just so happened to play against a Giants team that was hitting their stride. And David Tyree, I believe it was made a catch that is 99% of the time not going to happen to continue a drive. People forget that Plexico Burress actually made a catch before that to continue the drive. But, you know, I'm not going to get into semantics. But, you know, the Patriots were hitting on all cylinders going through the season. That was also cheap season, so to speak. They had everybody's defensive plays, and Brady knew what coverages they were going to use against them. So what they do, they did it. Well, hold on. How about a sleeper for guys who had Breeze as QB, didn't bother to get it back? Okay. I got one for you, 1374. You should have got a backup for Drew Brees anyway, regardless, because anything can happen during the season. But if you're looking at this week, Jason Campbell against San Diego's defense is not a bad option. I also like Alex Smith, fat guy says that. He's a good one going against St. Louis. Now, I don't know if this guy's going to be out there, but if you can get your hands on Carolina's quarterback, Matt Moore. Oh,
I just typed him in.
Okay. Oh, so you're 1374. You're a jerk.
No, I'm not. I'm 1361.
No. Oh, 1374 did it again. Okay, yeah. Matt Moore, I think that would be a good sleeper pick because he's caught fire. Now, remember, they just lost Steve Smith with a broken arm. They just lost him with a broken arm.
If you want to go with a real deep, desperate sleeper pick, they're going to pull Philip Rivers and Billy Volek is going to get some time.
Oh, he might, but you know what they're going to do. They're going to hand the ball to Darren Sproles.
But that's what
they're
going to
let Darren Sproles get off.
But they'll throw a screen pass, and he'll take it 20 yards and score.
Yeah. That's a possibility. That's a very strong possibility.
I mean, in all honesty, I'm not even being funny, but the Redskins are just traveling out to the West Coast, leaving all this cold weather for that warm San Diego weather. I don't know how serious they're going to go out there and play.
Oh, leave my team alone.
I'm not, nah, man.
I'm just being
realistic. You got to take all that into consideration. You know, who has something to play for in that game? I say Volek has something to show, you know?
Well, is he in a contract here?
I don't even know about that. If they want to consider keeping him, he's going to give a shot to say, hey, who's the backup? He might have something to play. The game don't mean nothing.
Vince Young is out there, too. Who's Tennessee? I think Tennessee's playing Jacksonville. No, they're not playing Jacksonville. Oh, David Garrard. Play David Garrard this week because Jacksonville's playing a very soft team. Just get him out there. Just do what you got to do. Do not use Matt Hasselbeck, guest 1374. Don't do it. Leave him alone. He's done. TJ, he made a mistake going to Seattle. And that's a dead zone right now. But anyway, we're getting to our stardom sit-ems and sleepers in about 10, 15 minutes, if you can hold off that long. I wanted to touch on a few more subject matters. Again, let me bring up two things. If you want to call into the show, dial 347-637-3220. Again, that's 347-637-3220. And we'll put you on the air. We'll let you talk about your experiences this fantasy season. We'll ask you a few questions. We'll answer a few questions if you have any. Also, make sure to do your best to follow this show because we will be transitioning to basketball, as Chris said. I'm going to transition to basketball after the Super Bowl. The reason why is because I have a fantasy basketball league that I really haven't been paying attention to, and I'm going to need your help, really. Honestly, I'm going to need your help. But we'll talk about that as the weeks come about. But shortly thereafter basketball season, we're going to go into baseball. I'm a big baseball guy. But we're going to continue pinging basketball and college basketball. I love college basketball, so we'll talk about those things too. But real quick, I'm going to take a break because I have to play this. I haven't played it in a while, but I need to just for my listeners out there. So stick and stay. We'll be back in maybe 45 seconds.
More live fantasy sports radio than anyone on the planet. 7 continuous hours of football, baseball, basketball, and hockey action each Monday through Friday. Plus 7 hours of game day frenzy on Sunday. 30 shows in all from the best fantasy sportscasters in the business, like Craig Davis of FantasyFootball.com, the Audible Cecil Lammy, Paul Greco of Mel Nick and Greco Fantasy Sports, and the Fantasy Football guys Lyle Conkiel and Kevin Moore. The Fantasy Sports Channel, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's a schedule you can bet on. You want to dominate your football leagues? Then join us on Smash Mouth Wednesdays each week on Blog Talk Radio's Fantasy Sports Channel. It starts off at 8 p.m. Eastern with Fantasy Pros 911, followed by the Fantasy Exchange at 9 and the Thundering Blurb Football Show at 10. Then it's capped off by an hour and a half of What's Your Fantasy at 11 p.m. 4.5 hours of Smash Mouth Wednesdays to go with 7 days a week of coverage on the Fantasy Sports Channel on blogtalkradio.com. You want to dominate your league?
You know where to go.
Smash Mouth Wednesdays and the Fantasy Sports Channel.
All right. We're back. I had to do that real quick because I haven't played them in a long time. But at any rate, Chris. I want to analyze a few things here. We've gone on record as saying, you know, we think that this player is going to do that, that player is going to do this during the week. I want to know from you, how do you feel about teams such as Cleveland right now? That's who the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing, by the way, that are going to lose Eric Mangini, and most likely going to lose Eric Mangini, but they're playing and they've won three in a row. How do you feel about picking up a Cleveland Brown defense at this point in the season, or, you know, any Cleveland Brown defensive player?
Well, I could tell you the Browns defense has been an improved play as it's gone through the year. If you've noticed, it's gotten better every time when it played Pittsburgh, especially in that cold weather game, it did fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been getting better. I don't know what the motivation is have been for some of the players. Maybe Holmgren was a new lifeblood because they think Mangini will be gone, and people are trying to play for contracts and being kept because obviously the green light's been given to renew Josh Cribbs. That's somebody they got to keep.
They have,
you know,
no choice,
moving
man.
Forward.
Pay the man.
Cleveland's biggest problem is they had some injuries. Their defense, once they get DeQuell Jackson back, Eric Barton, somebody else, they have a great what's my man's name in the middle? Sean Rogers.
Their
defense is as good.
I know what you're talking about.
Their DBs and their secondary, they need some help back there. But their biggest problem is they never resolved the QB thing from the jump. Because
yeah.
Massaqua, it's a decent receiver. They got rid of – you wouldn't have gotten rid of Braylon if you had a better QB. Remember, and then they just got rid of Kellen Winslow.
Yeah.
Now, I think they said, I don't know where it stands now, but a few weeks prior to this resurgence, you know, this was the first time in NFL history that one coach single-handedly took the offense and defense to dead last on both sides. And that's why I said he rendered all his skill positions useless. And the best thing he ever did for the Jets as a Jets coach was becoming the Browns coach.
Oh, yeah.
You know? With all
yeah.
those pick trades and, you know, and now Braylon. So if Sanchez develops, it's good. But what I want to see for that team is I want to see whoever the new coach is going to be, how they use those new picks correctly. Because they had a lot of picks, and this kind of reminds me of, if I'm correct, I want to say they have like 5 first-round picks or something like that. This reminds me of when the Cowboys went 1-15 in Jimmy Johnson's first year, came back with all those picks and won a Super Bowl in 3 and then went on in that run in the 90s. So I'm not saying you can do that now, but with the right pick, if you get the right quarterback, which they're going to be in contention for, don't know if it's going to be a Sam Bradford. I don't think their O-line is that much of a problem. I think the right quarterback fixes a lot of things, as it does for most teams. But the real question to me is who's going to be their running back? Is it going to be James Davis, who went to the IR? Are they going to come back with Jerome Harrison? Or is he going to go back to a third down back? You know,
it's
got to
be Harrison, guy. It's got to be Harrison because, and the reason why I say that is because he's proven he's a little durable, and he's put up good numbers back to back against one against a poor team, one against a semi good team. The guy that went to the IR, he's been injury prone. You know,
no,
you
he got hurt. He got hurt in that play because Mangini had them practicing without pads.
I know.
Practice.
I know. But prior to that, I believe year before last, he picked up a little nick that kept him in and out of the lineup.
No, he was on Clemson before that. This was his rookie year.
Was it him? Who was the back?
James Davis.
Who was the guy that they picked up, and he just kept getting injured? Every time he got a chance to come in, he just got nicked up, and that's why Lewis kept the starting job. It was a year or so ago where they drafted a guy, and he was supposed to come in and take the job from Jamal Lewis, but he kept getting nicked up, so Jamal kept the job. I thought it was Davis. But okay, maybe not.
The other thing I'd say is it's really a wait and see whoever what head coach gets in there. You know?
Well, home ring.
If it doesn't change, it's a problem because now you've really got – now, if you don't change him this year,
yeah.
then there's no need to never change him because this is the guy who made all the picks, you know? To me, you stick with – that's just my how I would do it. I wouldn't – I mean, Vic, that is a fortune of picks.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You can't give it to one man's mentality and then take – and then bring another man in to run it. Whoever you're going to get now is who you let make those picks, and you and they're there the next 4 or 5 years. That's
they
just the way it
be.
Goes.
They have to be. Well, that brings up another topic that I wanted to talk about today was restricted free agency. All these free agents or supposed free agents such as Brandon Marshall, Jason Campbell, they're going to be stuck on their teams for another year or two because of the possible labor agreement that won't take place. Now, the issue with Brandon Marshall not being able to play this week because of a tiff he got into with his coach, I mean, come on now. We know Marshall's a head case, but if you're fighting for your chance to make the playoffs, even though they're slim, you can't sit him because he has a small little issue. It doesn't make sense to me. Then you got I'm just naming some big name ones that I can think of off the top of my head, which are Campbell. Now, Campbell, he's taken a beating all year, and this isn't, you know, the first time it's happened. Year before that, he took a beating. You know, I think under the right system, he can be a pretty good quarterback. This is just not the system for him to succeed in. He needs to go somewhere else, and he probably will. As a matter of fact, I believe they have ESPN has Bradford being drafted with the 5th overall pick, first offensive player taken in this year's draft, and he's supposed to go to the Skins. And I hope that's not the case because Bradford, I got to see how he does in a combine before I sign off on that one. But we'll see. But these restricted free agents and this labor agreement, tell me a little bit about what you know about it and what your thoughts are before we get into our stardom sit-ems.
Real quick, Dan Sharp is out this week. I don't have enough information yet to know, but I do know from what I'm hearing is it will be uncapped.
Yeah,
and this is when a lot of owners are going to, not a lot of people are going to get played, you know. And if you're not extreme, and then the other thing that I'm also hearing on top of that is that there's the likelihood of there being no football in 2011 is very strong because of this agreement. I've read that in a number of places. Now, that's early to forecast, but I have read that in a number of places. So now I will say this. In regards to what you had just mentioned with Jason Campbell, the number one thing, if you really want to fix that team, whatever coach they put in there.
Offensive line guy.
That's it. That's it. That's all. Yeah. Stick with Jason Campbell because the odds, unless you're going to go try and get Mike Vick, you know, the odds of trying to get a new quarterback in there.
A proven quarterback.
Huh?
A proven quarterback.
Right. It's just not likely. And would I fix that O-line, that's what you need to do. Because Portis has been hurt for the last 3 years and has never finished a season in the last 3 years, or has not a complete one. If he sees a new O-line that's throwing blocks, your defense is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You should be able to function a lot better with a new O-line. Chris Cooley will be back. You still don't have a true number one wide receiver. You know, Malcolm Kelly hasn't started up. Devin Thomas had a flash, and Moss is really a wide receiver too. You know, the little guy who kind of plays a video role.
I think Devin Thomas is going to be the future. You said he showed a flash. That flash is threefold for me. Intensity, hands, and strength at the wide receiver position. Those are and he's got the height. So, and he's got a little burst with him. So he is the future that I see.
Now, let me ask you.
Yeah.
What I would say from what I've seen just limitedly enough, it appears that Ty Collins is better throwing the ball downfield than Jason Campbell because they always limit Jason's Campbell's to 10 to 15-yard passes.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if that's Jason Campbell not wanting to do that or if it's the play calling because I think Jason Campbell has a decent arm.
He throws a flatter ball, whereas Ty Collins puts more air, but Ty Collins has a weaker arm.
Okay,
but I think we got Jerry on the line real quick. Let me get him in real quick.
Real quick, before you do that, Vic.
Go ahead.
I just want you to notice how civilly I speak about your Skins without saying anything.
Oh, God.
And all this, that, and the third. Okay.
God. All right, fine, fine.
Take note.
This ain't going to happen. All right, call from the 707. You're on the air.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
How you doing? State your name.
My name is John.
All right, John, how can we help you out?
I got a couple comments first. Well, one comment, and I really prefer an all-points league for the whole 17 seasons because I'd rather get rewarded for the best team throughout the year rather than you go head-to-head with the number 16 and, you know, you have a bad week. So I like to be rewarded for 17 weeks rather than one lucky week. So I just wanted to make that comment. And everybody, it seems like I'm a minority in that.
That's something I had mentioned a few weeks back, Vic, remember?
Yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's a valid point because some people prefer to say, okay, well, they've drafted the best team, they've worked the waiver wire the best, and, you know, their team has scored the most points. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes a bad thing. Just like a year or so ago, Drew Brees, he and Tom Brady, you know, if you had those two on your team with a decent running back, Steve Slayton, or something like that, you're going to kill the league regardless with points. And depending on the point system, you know, personally, I've done those type of leagues, and they're okay. I'm not going to bet a lot of money in them. I'm not going to put a lot of effort into it because the top two picks, I mean, I'll say the top five picks are going to have the better overall players as far as points goes. You know, it all depends on, you know, drafting style. If you got draft pick trading and stuff like that. But it's okay to me. I'm not against it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against it. I just wouldn't use it for money.
What I would add, Vic, is the points thing. That, to me, tends you like to play against yourself as a soloist, meaning as opposed to head-to-head competition with a wins and loss. And I think when you have the head-to-head as the NFL runs, you get more rivalry, you get more competition.
Yeah.
And I think people are more into the league because they still feel they can get in as a wild card for overall competitive play. Sort of keeps everybody chasing a record as opposed to an individual chasing points. But, I mean, I understand where the call is coming from because I felt that way in money leagues too. I mean, I topped out as the top point getter, you know, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Hopefully that helped you win all the way and that continues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It sucks for me this year, but in years past I really liked it. But I got a quick question for you. This is a salary cap league. You don't hear too many shows in salary cap leagues either because every different format has different salaries for players, so it's kind of hard to salary cap a talk show. But what I've got my top, I'll go real quick with you guys because I know you got other people and you don't want to get through it. But I've got Schaub as my top quarterback. What I'm worried about is my number two. I got Roethlisberger and Favre. What do you guys think between that? You guys can answer this fairly quick because I got a receiver, running back, and a defense and a tight end question too.
Okay. Tell you what, because we have 12 minutes, you can stay on the air with, if it goes over. We also have another caller that's on the line. It's not a problem. In my opinion, Favre is good. He's golden. Roethlisberger has been throwing the ball like crazy the past couple years, so you're sitting pretty good there. Salary cap-wise, it depends on how much they cost. You know, how much room do you have on your league to spend on them? You know, odds are Schaub is going to be the one that costs the most for you because he's going to throw the most. Favre is probably going to be the least because of his age and the likelihood of him retiring. You know, it all depends, in my opinion. But go ahead, Chris. Go ahead and get yours. And
I would just add, I'd got to keep Schaub because of that receiving core down there from Andre Johnson to Kevin Walter to Owen Daniels to Jacoby Jones coming up. And there's still question marks in a running game. The only thing I'd watch out for is if they get rid of Kubiak, is that offensive system going to change?
Yeah.
I like Ben Roethlisberger, too. He does put up a lot of yards in Pittsburgh. Although they've gotten away from the running, they seem to found it back with Mendenhall. You know, so during the winter, you would think that hurts Ben. It all depends on where they play their games. I just couldn't give up on Schaub overall. Because I think he was top three or top five.
Top four, I believe.
Top four in quarterbacks producing. So, you know, for me, I was a Schaub fan at the beginning of the year. I wouldn't let him go. I mean, the other thing you have to ask yourself is he seems to have gotten past the injury thing, which everybody always said if he stays healthy. And Ben missed a couple games this year, but he generally takes a lot of hits because of his O-line. But he's a bigger target. You know, so it's, you know, I would have to go with Schaub because of that receiving core. You know, and Pittsburgh doesn't have Holmes, and they're going to bring up Mike Wallace. Now, Houston has a better receiving core. I don't know if Ward's coming back.
What I was worried about with Roethlisberger, I hear that the field is pretty sloppy there and the weather concerns. And then also Hines Ward, you know, you got him out too, so there's one less weapon for Roethlisberger.
That's true, but Wallace has stepped up big time. He's looking at Wallace before he looks at San Antonio Holmes, which tells me a lot because Roethlisberger loves to hit Hines Ward. He knows Hines is going to catch the ball and keep going. He rarely hits San Antonio. If you notice, the biggest game San Antonio had this year was against Baltimore, and we talked about this last week, and it was Dennis Dixon throwing him the ball. He didn't have too many big games this year. He had some good ones, but not too many big ones. But Mike Wallace has stepped up. That rookie has stepped up, and Ben has come to rely on him. So, you know, I hope that, you know, I'm not trying to sway you either way, dude, but Sharp, I agree with Chris. Go with Schaub if you're going to do a keeper league. Invest heavily in your quarterback and your running backs. Those are my opinions, period. You know.
My running back, I can go three running backs. My number no-brainer is Chris Johnson, of course. But where I'm having a problem is between these three guys, or actually four guys, Frank Gore, Ray Rice, Mauricio Jones, and then also Adrian Peterson. So I can pick two of those four.
How did you get them?
Before.
That's what I want to know. How did you get the top four running backs in the daggone league?
Well, no, that's salary cap.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, I'm sorry.
All right. I absolutely wouldn't get rid of Ray Rice. You keep in Chris Johnson.
Yeah. But then it becomes
an
AP and MJ.
Is this a PPR league?
It's a yardage league. It's a yardage. You get 2 points for running and receiving.
So PPR. It's
then go with MJD.
Yeah, MJD. As much as I love Adrian Peterson, because I believe he's the number one overall player in fantasy football, MJD is Mr. Everything for Jackson. If you noticed last week, he went back to returning kicks again. So that means he was returning kicks, running the ball, receiving the ball. Next thing you know, he's going to be throwing the ball. So out of those, I agree with Chris wholeheartedly on those three backs to keep. Honestly,
you even get 1 point for return yards. So that
there you go.
And I don't think McGahee may not be back in Baltimore. As
no, he's done. He's done. He doesn't like his role as the backup. Let me get your quick question, and you can stay on the line. I don't want you to go anywhere, but I got to bring in another guy before we go off the air live. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead with your next question.
When I'm having really issue with it. Again, you get 1 point per yard for returns. So I like D-Jack big time since he returns the ball. So Andre Johnson's all my no-brainer. D-Jack is, I'm really leaning on him. But then what's really throwing me off is I'm seeing some of these really good websites picking Ray Rice, number three overall in receivers. And
Ray Rice as a number three overall?
Sidney Wright.
Okay, yeah.
Sidney Wright. Yeah, I've seen him as number three overall. But my big thing is, if Minnesota loses, I'm going to grab probably Fitzgerald. And I can afford Fitzgerald, too. But if Minnesota wins, Arizona's not going to do anything. So I'll just – but what's the deal with – would you guys go – because I'm kind of leaning those two. I'm just missing out, I guess, Sidney Rice, Miles, or Reggie White.
Reggie Wayne, no-brainer, guys.
What's that?
I would not hold on to Rice simply because Favre's
and
what he's going to do next year, every single Minnesota receiver's value plummets.
Exactly. Reggie Wayne, you know, Peyton's going to be there for, what, another 3-4 years, whatever. Wayne is guaranteed money. He's going to guarantee you maybe 5-6 touchdowns a year. He's the go-to guy down the field, even though Dallas Clark has developed into the main target for Peyton. Wayne, no-brainer. Fitz, if you can afford Fitz, get Fitz. Yeah. Because, again, he and Andre Johnson on one team is good. But, again, you got to do the value of the rest of your team. And, you know, I don't know if you do IDPs and stuff like that. But tight ends, you can get a good tight end rather low.
I have no problem with salaries. And, again, this is just for week 17. This is not holding on. So Wayne is, like, number 40 off the charts this week. I don't know why Sidney Rice is so high. Is what I'm saying. I'm
because Brett Favre's going to throw it to him like crazy this week. That's why. I'm listening.
Who's
I, I, My thought process, if you're going off of just week 17 and I got 5 minutes left of live air, I got to get to the next caller, but I want you to stay on the line. My thoughts are week 17, most of your stars are going to sit, okay? Fitz isn't going to play probably but a quarter. He's already nicked up a little bit. A few other players, Wayne, he's not going to play. Stuff like that, that should make your decision a lot easier. Look at the teams that have already clinched and have already said, well, we're going to rest some of our players. That means they're going to play for a quarter, maybe a half, and then they're gone. You need somebody who's going to be there all game long. Andre Johnson is going to be there all game long, stuff like that. Had I known that before, AP is probably the better pick over. Well, no, because Baltimore needs to win to keep their position.
And they're running against Oakland.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. So that's a no-brainer, too. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Stay on the line. I want you to stay on the line. I'm going to get this next caller in so we can get their question in, and we'll all talk about, you know, what's what. But hold on 1 second, okay?
All right, brother.
All right. Caller from 732, you're on the air.
Better late than never.
Oh, Jerry. I put this important caller on hold for you, Jerry. You hold on, you Jets fan, because we're gonna grill you in a minute. Let's go back to the other caller. All right, caller from 707. Let's finish up with you. And before I let you go, let me give this plug. Listen, if you want to stay listening to this show live or off the air, dial 347-637-3220, and we'll keep you on the air and we'll let you roll with us. If not, thanks for listening. You can also go to our website at www.fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. You can go there, figure out what's going on with the show, where we're going, and things of that nature. You can also go to our store, purchase that team, and, again, I'll refund you the $10, not a big problem. We'll put you in the NFL.com Fantasy Playoff Challenge League, and you'll have fun. And you never know, I might give away a good prize. Jerry, you want to give away good prizes?
Absolutely. No and doubt.
This is before Jerry became a regular on the show, so I'm not trying to sell you wolf tickets. Anyway, always, we're here every Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 a.m. Germany time, where I'm at. And, you know, keep it live, keep it locked in. All right, 707, go ahead and finish up with your question.
Okay, so I guess the bottom line is my number three receiver after Andre Johnson, D-Jack. Do you like Sidney Rice? Do you like Austin Miles? Or do you like Roddy White?
Ooh.
Or do you like someone other than that for number three?
I like Roddy, dude. I like Roddy. Who's Atlanta's? Hold on, I can tell you who Atlanta's going. We need to do our starting sims.
Atlanta's going against Tampa Bay.
Tampa. Oh, yeah, I love that deal right there, guys. I love that deal right there, really.
I don't think you can go between Roddy Wright or Miles Austin.
You can't. Well, Miles is going against
he's going to get his receptions.
Dante Samuel. Well, they kind of shut him down last game.
No,
but
he got
him
playing that touchdown. He got you the 14, 15 points.
Yeah, you're right. But here's an interesting look here. Torrey Holt might not play. Mike Sims-Walker's coming back. Going against Cleveland. Andre Gerard throwing to Mike Sims-Walker. He might have a good game this week. So if you're looking for a sleeper or a low salary cap person, Mike Sims-Walker might be the guy for you. Also, Derek Mason against Oakland. Osmond Wise is going to lock him up, but he still might get his catches. Well, I would say Brandon Marshall, but he's going to be down. So, Bart Daphne and maybe Stokely, a few other guys. I got 90 seconds left in the live show. Again, if you've been listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics, stay with us. We love to have you. We like to keep you guys involved and on point. So every Saturday at 6 p.m., come listen to our show. And, guys, on the line, stay on the line. Do not hang up. We're going to play the outro music so guys can go to our affiliates, and then we're going to finish up our show off the air. So thank you for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics. And, again, you've been listening to Play
Fantasy.
You wanna talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 yeah. other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.
Sports and Politics every Saturday night at 6 p.m. on the Fantasy Sports Channel, only on blogtalkradio.com.
All right. I think Chris is coughing up a lung over there or something like that.
No, that wasn't
me. Bye, live listeners. Now we're off the air. We're no longer streaming live. But 707, you still there?
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. I heard somebody. Was that you, Jerry, that was, like, coughing up a lung?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. Somebody was having a hard time.
All right.
Let's finish up with you, Mr. 707.
Okay, I know you got a lot of going on, but like I said, I can't believe Sidney Rice is like number three in Fantasy Guru. And I mean, dude, that is so dang high. But I do like Roddy White. I don't want Michael Sim. I want a top tier. You know. So I think I like Roddy. That's a good take on Roddy. But Sidney Rice is, man, I can't believe that, man.
The reason why that is because a lot of top flight receivers are going to be sitting down, and that moves Sidney Rice's value up. Plus the fact is Minnesota is trying to advance in the playoff seeding too. So
yeah.
They're trying to get back on track because they haven't been playing well in like the last 3 or 4 weeks. So
okay.
Well, and if you notice, Sidney Rice has broken out this year thanks to Brett Favre. Percy Harvin, if he ran into a little, you know, a wall, he got injured and his production went down. But Bernard Barron hasn't really seen the ball this year. Why? Because he hasn't been on the practice field to work with Brett. Brett seemingly throws the ball to Sidney Rice wherever and whenever he can. He reminds you of when Donald Driver and Brett hooked up many times before. Greg Jennings, when he first got into the league, Antonio Freeman, he's Brett Favre's new favorite target as a wide receiver. So, I mean, Sidney Rice is a very good play. However, if you have the option of getting Roddy White against Tampa's defense, I would take that over. This is just me. I would take that over going against the Giants' defense, even though their D-backs aren't that good. But the Giants are hitting their stride again right now, so you got to think about that. But, again, guy, I'm not the biggest fan of Sidney, but Roddy White has had a down year this year, mainly because Tony Gonzalez has come in and swept away a lot of his catches and a lot of his touches. But at the same time, Roddy's he's caught a little fire the past couple weeks, so it's not like he's invisible. And I expect him to have a good game against Tampa. That's just what I do. And, you know, if you have any defensive questions, we have time for you now. It's no big deal. We've got Jerry, Chris, and myself on the line right now. We can give you as much information as we can before we go into our regular, you know, slate of things we normally talk about.
Okay. Real quick. Okay, I've narrowed it down to two defenses I want. I either want San Francisco, but I kind of, my gut says it's Baltimore.
Baltimore versus Oakland? No brainer, guy. No brainer.
Or against St. Louis, though.
Well, I'll add this. I'll just say this. That Baltimore game, as much as I like Baltimore to win, they are going to Oakland. It's week 17. It's a trap game. It's a black hole. And if you remember last year.
It is.
Remember last year. I don't think Baltimore's going to lose that game because they want to get in the playoffs. And they shouldn't lose that game.
And Ed Reed's not playing again, so.
No, I think he is playing.
Nah, he's kidding.
Remember last year, the Raiders flew across the country to Tampa Bay and beat Tampa Bay, and that's how the Eagles wound up getting in the playoffs. So something always happens in Week 17 with the Raiders. I don't know what it is, but Ray Rice should easily get 115 yards and at least one score, maybe two.
Ray's been averaging 127 a game receiving and rushing, so.
Yeah,
you
but
know,
I don't
that's
see them needing
no
him to. I see them once they go up early, I see him getting the rest and McGahee getting some work. But I'm just saying I would just be a little bit cautious. I do like San Francisco because they're playing St. Louis, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Steven Jackson is still questionable. The receiving core is crazy. They don't even know who the quarterback is, if it's going to be Null or Bowler. And they just can't seem to get things going offensively. And I don't think Singletary is going to have a 49er team let down And I believe the game is in San Francisco.
No.
It's
not? It's in St. Louis indoors?
It's in St. Louis.
Still, now, with a questionable back, I like the 49ers defense better.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you, but
keep this in mind: the Raiders can throw the ball, and that Baltimore secondary, even with Ed Reed.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm worried about. Like, is Gronkowski going to be the quarterback, or is it going to be Fry, or is it going to be the other guy? Because as long as it's not Jamarcus Russell, they have a chance.
Gronkowski is out for the season. He's definitely out. So it's going to be Charlie Fry who's going to be the starting quarterback there. So, I mean, you're looking at the Oakland team that may mail it in also. You never know. I mean, St. Louis, believe it or not, St. Louis does play better at home.
And they have a better defense.
Yes.
Younger, faster, stronger defense.
All right, you guys are killing me. You're going back and forth, man.
Well,
not me.
I'm not going back and forth.
I'm picking the Ravens defense. Chris has picked San Fran's defense, and Jerry sounds like he's picking the Ravens defense as well.
Absolutely.
Right?
The Ravens defense,
okay.
I would take, yes.
Okay, now here's the last question. I'll get the heck out of here, dude. Everybody's hitting on Vernon Davis. I'm liking Jason Witten better this week.
Okay, here's your problem with that. The Cowboys. Okay, all right. You know, I'm not going to bash the Cowboys. I already told Chris I wasn't, and besides, I'm not going to do it because they stand a chance of winning their first playoff game in what 12 years. So it's no need in downing him. But Vernon Davis is the number one tight end in fantasy football right now. Okay, Smith loves him. Hill loves him. Witten, he had a very good game last week. Philadelphia is one of the worst teams at covering the tight end. Okay, they are. But I don't think this is going to be one of those games like last year where it was a blowout. They got to throw the ball out. I think you're going to see that three-headed monster coming out of Dallas like they should have been doing, like, for the whole year, honestly. If they would have ran all three of those guys all year long,
Watch it.
Could have been 14. What are you talking about? Shut up and listen. I'm about to give you a compliment.
Don't
jump in. Watch your language with me. I'm the executive producer.
I will find Jay. I'm about to hang up on him.
Anyway, as I was saying,
Dallas, if they run that three-headed monster, they will kill Philly, and they won't need to throw the ball to Jason Witten. On the other hand, Mr. Singletary likes to smash the ball down people's throats. Vernon Davis, he's a proud graduate of Paul Lawrence Dunbar High School, same high school I went to. He's a talent, a rare talent. They have game planned for him because they have no real other top-flight receiver. Yes, Crabtree is there. Yes, Crabtree is going to develop into a great receiver one day. But right now, Crabtree isn't going to get double covered. Morgan has stepped up the past couple weeks. But I think Vernon Davis is probably the better play going against St. Louis because their outside linebacker isn't that well equipped to cover. And I believe their strong safety is out for the year, if I'm not mistaken. For those reasons alone are why I would say play Davis over Witten. Not saying that Witten could not have a good game, but I don't think they're going to pass the ball that much this game because they're going to use that three-headed monster. They need to. Dallas needs to in order to win this game, in my opinion. They can't get in a shootout with Philly because I don't think they can get in a shootout with them. That's just my opinion. But I'll let Jerry and Chris talk about it. And remember, Chris is a Cowboy fan. So.
And remember, Vic is an anti-Cowboy fan.
But I just gave y'all compliments, though.
Well,
I'll jump in here because I'm not a fan of either one.
Go ahead.
So if it was me, I'd go definitely with Vernon Davis because he's more of a target, and I have to contradict you. Vic, that San Francisco has become more of a passing team versus a running team now, and putting Alex Smith back into the shotgun and using the spread offense. And he looks for Vernon Davis quite a bit. I agree. So Jason Witten is a good play against Philly because Philly's very, very weak against the tight end. But if I had a choice between Jason Witten and Vernon Davis, I would definitely go with Vernon Davis because he's been more consistent than Jason Witten has been this year.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I just know that Philly's ranks one of the worst teams covering the tight end, and Witten's had last game was really good, and I thought he might ride the momentum with that. But, yeah, Vernon Davis is obvious. He's probably the best, you know, one out there for this week.
Well, let Chris give his thought process. I want the Cowboys fan to give his thought process.
That's the point I'm gonna, all right. The first thing I'll add is
I'm going to contradict you a little bit, Jerry.
Go right ahead, Chris.
What they did was we are right with, because, you know, I'm a Frank Gore fan. The last 3 weeks prior, Gore saw a big reduction in his yardage because they switched to that shotgun and the spread, and he was throwing the ball everywhere to Vernon Davis. Mm-hmm. Just recently, if you notice, they started going back to Frank Gore running like he did against Detroit, and he also ran against Chicago in that NFL Thursday night game when Alex Smith got in trouble. I don't think he's going to get in trouble. I think you're going to see a little bit more of a balance this week. It's the last game, so anything can happen. I like Vernon Davis's ability to get you a touchdown more than I do Jason Witten in this game. There's more scoring options on Dallas than there is San Francisco. So your only threat to me at losing a touchdown to Vernon Davis would be one to Frank Gore. Dallas, it could be any one of the Roy Williams, Jason Witten, Miles Austin, Marion Barber, Felix Jones. There's a lot more offensive weapons. So I would say, into your last week, it's definitely a tough choice. I think there'll be more yardage possibly with Jason Witten, but you might have I think you have a better chance of the score for a touchdown with Vernon Davis.
Now, to add on to that before anybody else jumps in, I'm sorry, I got to add this. Vernon Davis is also used on reverses. Now, I'm not sure how many they've done in the past weeks with him, but they have used him in the as a reverse guy. The guy is a superhuman. I mean, he's for his size. You know, he can move very fast. And again, like I said, went to the same high school, but I graduated like maybe 6-7 years before him. The kid was big then. He was a tight end in high school running a 4.3 as a tight end. Okay? He was returning kicks as a tight end in high school. So I'm looking at the fact that they use him more in different ways than they do Witten. Witten is a great receiving tight end. I'm not, you know, going against that at all.
He's
but,
also a great blocking one.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to the point is that what he's used for is totally different or somewhat different than what Vernon Davis is used for. Vernon Davis is used in the running game sometimes as well as the passing game. Witten is solely going to, you know, block for you. He's going to catch the ball for you, okay? I mean, without that 59-yard pass that he caught on us last week, he had like 40-some yards receiving. He got the bulk of his receiving yards last week on that one pass. And I love my Skins, but they played crappy pass defense the past couple weeks. I don't think that's going to happen in Philadelphia. I really don't. So I think we're all in agreement. I think we're all in agreement to play Vernon Davis, but
okay.
It's up to you.
No. I agree. I was just being kind of like a devil's advocate. But my last thing real quick, guys, and just a real quick answer. I know Schaub was the best choice. I can play two quarterbacks. My two options were Roethlisberger, in my opinion, and Favre. I kind of like McNabb, but I'm leaning towards Roethlisberger and Favre for my second quarterback behind Schaub. So I can play two. It's going to be Schaub and either of those two. I just want real quick, if you guys want to just give me an answer, and that way, you can go
playing?
On.
Pittsburgh's playing Miami. They're playing Miami in Miami.
Go with Roethlisberger because Pittsburgh needs to win for any chance at anything.
And Miami does not have a good secondary. And stopping the pass, there's two rookies back there.
Jerry?
I think I like to go with Favre. Favre plays like lights out when he's in the dome. So, in my opinion, Brett Favre.
This is going to be tough on me, but Favre did he did lobby to throw the ball a lot more this week. He actually did, and I see him throwing for more yards than Ben this week. However, yeah, go with Favre. He's in the dome. Pittsburgh's playing in Miami. Miami has really nothing to play for. Pittsburgh has a lot to play for, but I think that's going to be a sleeper game. You know, Miami's going to upset them. But that's what I think.
Wow.
I honestly think Miami's going to upset them because Miami has an issue right now. They're like, okay, well, we can't make the playoffs. We're going to make sure you can't make the playoffs. And the Wildcat isn't the only trick plays or trick formations they have. So.
Well, I hate you guys. I want to just say to you guys that I really appreciate you taking time to analyze all this. And I didn't mean to take up so much of your time, but your information is very good, very thorough. You guys definitely know what you're talking about, and I appreciate your time. Happy New Year, guys.
Good
Happy
luck.
New- to you. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the show, man. Hey, listen, come back to the show. We're going to do basketball and football and stuff like that, and baseball and hockey, maybe golf if Tiger Woods can stop sleeping with everybody. And
that ain't going to happen.
Hey, leave Tiger alone. He's a man. Anyway, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Tell your friends
okay.
about the show. Again, we'll do playoffs and Super Bowl and stuff like that as we go on in a couple of weeks, but we're also going to jump into basketball a little bit. But bring them to the show. Go to our website, www.fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Join the site. Check out our little shorts that we've done. And keep up with the show that way. And favorite the show, man. Download it to your iPod. We've got a lot of good shows from the past. I mean, trust me. The yelling and the stuff we do, it's a good show. But, yeah, tell your friends to come on to the show, too, man. Appreciate your call.
Thank you very much, guys.
Good luck.
Not a problem. Good luck, my friend. All right. Jerry, Chris.
Yep.
Even though we're off the air.
First thing we got to get is, we got to get Jerry's take on his bogus team.
My bogus team. Wait a minute. How do you say it's a bogus? What's bogus about?
This is about you can tell by your tone. Go ahead. We've already spoken on the matter. It's just time for you to speak.
Let me address him because he probably didn't hear it.
I haven't heard the earlier part, but I can imagine because Indianapolis decided to sit their players. You're calling the Jets possibly getting into the playoffs. If Cincy does the same thing that Indy does last week, this week, you're going to call the Jets a bogus team in the playoffs. Am I correct or not?
That is what Chris says, yes.
That's why?
Not exactly what I said, but go ahead.
Not exactly, but close enough.
Well,
I just want Jerry's opinion.
My opinion is, you play 16 weeks to get in the playoffs. You can't control what another team does. You only can line up against a team that's out there on the field. If the other team decides to sit their players, you still have to play to win the game.
That's all well and good, but Jerry, you live in the New York tri-state market.
Yes.
Did you happen to listen to Mike Francesco on The Fan? Have you heard any of the pre- and post-game comments from Rex?
I've heard the comments from Rex, and I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, I understand what you're saying. He.
Ingratitude. He was.
Well,
ingratitude.
Let me put it this way: he's saying that we fielded a team out there. He basically said we don't have any control of anybody else's team but our team. So we won the game. regardless of who was out there, you still have to win the game. I've seen many times when a second string or third string quarterback comes into the game and still beats the team.
Right, like Chad Henne.
Exactly. So
against the Jets.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. So I don't make any excuses of winning against Indy because Indy decides to sit their first-string players. You still have to win the game.
In Indianapolis, they referred to this game as a forfeit. In New York, Francesca refers to it as a charity case, as a gift.
Well, let me put it this way. Who is Mike Francesa a fan of?
He's probably closer to a Giants fan.
He's absolutely a Giants fan. So regardless of if he says he's impartial, he's more biased to a Giants and giving excuses to the Giants versus the New York Jets. So
just let me add this point.
Sure.
Pre-game, Rex was asking to sit the players. I wish they would sit their players.
That was a joke.
It wasn't a joke. There was some truth in every joke. It might have been post-game immediately there was a humility and a gratitude, and they weren't being the boisterous knuckleheads that they've been all year with the comments that they've made to the media. Now, the other thing is, as soon as they got back to New York, then they started talking all this stuff. We won the game, blah, blah, blah. We beat their players. It wasn't a gift. It wasn't this. It wasn't that. I'm just saying, Jerry, don't deceive yourself, because not you personally, but as a team, you didn't handle the Falcons. Your offense is sputtering because it's your quarterback. You know, you were winning the whole game. You lead the league. You've said it many times. You lead the league in rushing. You know, you should be better than 7-7. But the reality is this, even if you do back wit your way in, you still, when the real time comes, when push comes to shove in the playoff start, then that'll be the proof will be in the pudding, as you say, or the truth will come to light. That's all.
Well, wait a minute. There's no backing into the playoffs. You have to win the games. Now, every team has bad losses during the year. Every team. There's not one team. Classic example is New Orleans up 17-0 against Tampa Bay in New Orleans, and they lose. That's a classic example, exactly what I'm talking about. Every team has bad losses. Against the Atlanta Falcons, yeah, the Jets should have won that game. But that was an anomaly because the field goal kicker, who's a very good field goal kicker, missed three field goals in that game. And that he's never done that. He missed three field goals. If he makes one of those field goals, we win the game. So
now you sound like Vic.
No, I'm just saying. That was a comedy of errors to happen in that game and flukes that happened in that game. That's just one game. We have a rookie quarterback.
I know that.
We have a rookie quarterback. Now, if we make the playoffs with a rookie quarterback, I think that's pretty good. Regardless of what happens in the playoffs, the plan is always, in the beginning of the season, is to get into the playoffs, regardless how you get into the playoffs. If you win the games, you're in the playoffs.
Then don't say you can't back your way in, because you absolutely can. What I'm saying is, when the truth comes, push comes to shove, we'll see what happens if you're in round one. You know, the point is, it's not to make the playoffs. The point is to win the Super Bowl.
Absolutely. And as long as you get into the playoffs, you have a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, so you think you're a Super Bowl contending team?
You're in the playoffs, you are.
Oh, wow. Vic, the delusion has left you and gone to Jerry.
What?
No, if you are in the playoffs, you have a chance to win the Super Bowl. Not to say that you're going to.
You have a 1 in 12 chance to win the Super Bowl.
If you buy a lottery ticket, you have a chance to win the lottery.
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Yes, you do. Not to say that you're going to, but you have a chance.
I just asked if you thought. I didn't ask if you had a chance. That's a 100% fact. I asked, do you think that they're a Super Bowl contending team?
They're a Super Bowl contending team as long as they're in the playoffs.
Do you think that they'll make it to the playoffs and win? Excuse me. Do you think that the Jets would win the Super Bowl if they're in the playoffs?
I think the Jets have a chance to be in the Super Bowl.
I'm not going to get an answer here.
I can't say that. I mean, I can say the Dallas Cowboys. I can say New Orleans. They have a chance to be in the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. Any team that's in the playoffs has a chance to win the Super Bowl.
And that's the thing. That's the thing. On any given Sunday, Chris, on any given Sunday, the best teams are subject to take an L. Again, case in point, he brought up a good point with Tampa Bay and New Orleans. Now, Drew Brees played that whole game. They lost Pierre Thomas for about a quarter or a quarter and a half. They still played Devery Henderson. They played Robert Meacham. They played Colston. They played – Shockey was out. You know, their offense was there. Tampa Bay somehow came back and won that game. Now, granted, the Jets have a very good defense. Darrell Revis is the, you know, flavor of the month, so to speak, at cornerback right now. He's very good at what he does. The defense is a good defense. Now, the offense, as I said earlier before Chris was on the line, they have a lot of talent there, but it just hasn't been cracked. You know, Edwards needs to catch the ball. He hasn't done that. Cotchery, he needs to show up. Dustin Keller needs to find the ball. Sanchez needs to be able to actually win a game instead of managing a game, because right now they're winning games on the legs and shoulders of Thomas Jones and that defense. It's going to come a time in these playoffs, if they make it, that Mark Sanchez is going to have to win the game. Now, can he do it? He can get the ball to people. If you think about it, how many balls has Braylon Edwards dropped that were wide-open touchdowns? I can think of two on the first Thursday night, or on the second Thursday night game they had, and then the one against Atlanta where he was like 20 yards.
That's with any team. So any game.
Exactly.
Here's something else.
Exactly.
Here's something else.
Exactly.
Why did Tampa Bay win, Vic? Tampa Bay won because of the exact same reason the Saints beat the Redskins. The kicker missed a field goal.
Yeah, on any given Sunday, guy. Any given Sunday.
I'm saying about that, but the playoffs are not really any given Sunday, to be honest with you. And you've heard the term Jetskins, right?
Yeah. I know. We brought on, yeah.
You guys sound just like the Jetskins, because I'm laughing at I've taken all the heat from you guys against my Cowboys all year. And, Jerry, you know during the year, I've spoken quite favorably of the Jets.
Yes, you have.
I don't have a problem. The problem that I got into it was the way that game was played, how the Colts sold their starters, and the comments immediately post, and then when they got back to New York, were just absurd. And I'm just a little bit – I've had it with the absurdity. And you know Rex and Bart Scott have got some mouths and have said some outlandish statements this year, correct?
You're right about that. But
that's all that I'm saying.
What I have to say about that is that Bart Scott was a little bit more humble this past after the Indy game than his head coach was.
Right, after the Indy game. But as he came back to New York, they both started ramping up, and now Braylon Edwards is getting into it.
Well, you want your players to say we're going to win the game. You don't want them to say, well, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know that. I'm just to the point of I just don't think you're something else that you're not. That's all. Be better prepared to win games. And don't deceive yourself is my issue. And I just have an issue with the way that game was played. Not so much as the teams, but just as an overall product with the NFL. You know, and here's another comment. What do you guys think about this? Lamar Woodley said he believes those teams are letting the Jets win, meaning the Colts and potentially the Bengals, to keep the Steelers out of the playoffs. I think that's hilarious because the Steelers imploded and lost five in a row in themselves.
Exactly. They lost against Kansas City, Oakland, and what's the other team they lost to? Kansas City, Oakland, and
a couple of teams came in. They lost to the Packers. No, they beat the Packers. Yeah, they beat the Packers on the last second play.
They lost to Kansas City.
Well, it doesn't matter really because if you look at it, it was Cincinnati and somebody else. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you look at it, that statement is full of hot air because they control their own destiny for a long time, and then they lost those games. So it's not the fact that people are trying to keep them out by, you know, sitting their players. The Colts set their players because they said, you know, for umpteenth time in 2 weeks, they were going to sit their players. Cincinnati said they're going to play their players. So it all depends on how long they play them. It doesn't matter to me, but the fact is, Mark Sanchez is going to have to win that game because Cincinnati has a stout run defense. Ray Manaluga in that middle with Dahani Jones on the end, and I forgot the other linebacker, but they're pretty daggone good. Their front seven is very good. Their D-backs are pretty good this year as well. They're top five defense. Ray's out? Well,
I think he's
still
out.
They're still a top five defense. So if the Jets win this game, whether it's on their second stringers or whoever, they're in the playoffs, and people are going to have to deal with that. Will there be a one and done? I don't know. It depends on what they play. If they end up playing Cincinnati again, back-to-back weeks, they might be one and done because Cincinnati's going to come out full bore.
Well,
if they end up playing New England, they have a better chance against New England because of the way they treated Tom Brady the first game of the season. That was without Wes Welker.
They came back and handled them.
Yes, but if things...
Look,
now, okay.
If the Jets beat Cincinnati, the Jets are going to go back to Cincinnati. Are going to go to Cincinnati to play Cincinnati in the first round.
Yes, so back-to-back weeks.
Now,
and,
the only problem I have with if the Jets win tomorrow, and they're 9-7, with people like Chris saying that they're not a valid playoff team if they lose to Cincinnati the following week, because that can happen to a 14-2 team, a 13-3 team, one and done. So I have a problem with a team, regardless. I have a problem with anyone who says if you get into the playoffs and you're one and done, you shouldn't have been in the playoffs in the first place, because that can happen to the number one seed or number two seed, or that can happen to the last seed in the playoffs.
Well, I didn't say that.
It's the Colts. One and done, plain and simple. You know, it doesn't matter. You're one and done regardless in the playoffs anyway.
There's going to be a number of teams. Let me address the point because I was addressed, Vic. What I said was, too, you can't ignore the way you get into it. If both teams rest their starters, you can't ignore that fact in terms of how you got there, in terms of what's going to happen when you do get there. Can anything happen the next week? Yeah. Can you be lulled into a false sense of security like the Giants were during the opening week, going 4 in a row playing against lackluster teams? Absolutely, it can happen. So, look, they can win, but I'm just saying you really can't ignore the facts of how you won the game. It's important. And the thing, Jerry, that really set me off is not so much as the team, but the commentary of prior, during, and post that came from mainly the head coach and a couple of the players.
Bravado. It's the bravado.
And let me ask you this real quick, Jerry. If this wasn't your team, would you feel differently about it, or would you stick to your principle?
I would feel a way about it. Just because the head coach and the players on that team have been doing it all year. So it's nothing new. It's not like they just started talking like this. They've been talking this from the beginning of the year. So it's nothing new. So regardless of what they're saying, they still have to go out and back up their words.
Yeah.
They don't back them up.
They haven't done that.
They're one game away from the playoffs. They're one game away from the playoffs. They get into the playoffs, they backed it up. They've gotten to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. And no, I don't think if it comes down to Sanchez in a playoff game for him to win the game, no, I don't think he can do it.
Okay.
Plain and simple. And I'm a diehard Jet fan, and no, I didn't agree with him starting in the beginning of the year in the first place.
No,
I thought he needed to sit and watch a pro quarterback play the position so he knew what to do, not put him in there and average about three interceptions or three turnovers a game.
Let me add this. The bravado and all the talk didn't bother me during the year. It was this particular exchange that just irritated me in terms of the truth of the matter of what was happening and how they were prior, during, and post. It just didn't sit well with me. That's all I have to say.
Well, that's nothing new.
I've never been upset about what they said and backed it up. I'm just saying what I've said before is you can't be gracious as soon as after and then come back to New York talking a whole nother way.
I understand. I understand exactly what you're saying, and I got to cap this conversation because we got to move on real quickly before we make this a 2.5-hour show. But you know, don't be all humble in someone's face, then go back, you know, to your home state and talk to them. That's pretty much what he's saying, and that's what happened with Matt. I'm going to refer back to MMA on this. I don't know if you guys follow or not, but Matt Hughes and what's his name? Good God. It's a guy. I can't remember his name right now. Matt Sarah. Matt Hughes and Matt Sarah. Okay. No, Pierre. St. Pierre and Matt Sarah fought. Matt Sarah knocked out St. Pierre, TKO'd him. Okay, during the post-interview, it was like, okay, well, you know, Matt Sarah's a good guy. He deserved to win, blah, blah, blah. Okay, Matt Sarah went his way. Pierre went back to Canada. Pierre went on Canadian radio and talked about how bad Sarah was, how bad of shape he was in, how he shouldn't even been in a cage with him, blah, blah, blah. So Matt Sarah took it personal, blah, 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 came back and got knocked out by Pierre because Pierre became... He came back with a better game plan. How does this relate? You come in and you say, okay, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Bravado. It's a thing that every sports individual has. If you don't have a big bravado, you're not made for competitive sports. You're made for, like, freaking tiddlywinks. Because even in poker, they have bravado, and they talk trash about how good this person is, how bad the person is, and most of them don't even win. I mean, the best poker player in the world has still yet to win a World Series final table, World Series of Poker, Phil Ivey, okay? With that said, from preseason, or no, not even preseason, when Rex Ryan was hired, he came out talking junk. At that interview, he went back and forth with Channing Crowder before the season even started. That's his personality. That's who he is, and it's rubbed off on the team. Yes, could they have been humbled the entire time knowing that that Indy pulled their big guns? He could have been. But, again, his personality and his team's personality is we're going to talk trash regardless because we have to keep that sense of macho thing going just to say, okay, well, we got to go in and play this week against Cincinnati, and we got to come back even better, even stronger, and we got to back it up. So that's the way I look at that. But with that said, I got to table this conversation on you guys until after next week. Stardom Situms, picks, and we're going to end the show because we're running way over time here. Stardom Situms, Chris.
You mean Donald Brown? If he's active, watch out for two guys on the Giants, Ramsey's Barden, if he's active, and Gartrell Johnson.
Okay.
Who else? I don't know what's going to happen, but Sean Green for the Jets might pick up some yardage. I also, of course, I like Jonathan Stewart this week.
He might not be playing.
Are you sure?
Yeah, right now he and he and D'Angelo are questionable. D'Angelo's more doubtful than questionable, but Stewart is questionable, and it's not just the Achilles.
Yeah, there's so many particular ones I didn't prepare.
Okay.
List, but I know I like Donald Brown a lot this week. We talked about quite a few of them before, and those two sleepers on the Giants might get some extra time. Well, go ahead,
okay.
Jared.
Quarterback, I like... And I've liked him a few weeks, and he's going up against St. Louis, so I definitely like Alex Smith.
Okay.
Running back, I'm going up against the Miami Dolphins. I like Rashard Mendenhall with a sleeper against Indy, Fred Jackson. Let me see. Who do I like as a wide receiver? Wide receiver... you stole my thunder a little earlier, Vic. I do love Roddy White this week. I think he's going to have a big game against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And I also like Steve Smith.
Broken off. You mean Steve Smith in New York?
No. Yes, Steve Smith in New York, yes. At Minnesota,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And,
getting benched.
And who else do I like here? Well, you know I like Vernon Davis against St. Louis, but I also like Jason Witten against Philadelphia quite naturally because Philadelphia is one of the worst teams against the tight end. So
yeah,
he definitely should have a decent game. He may not have as big a game as Vernon Davis, but he should have a pretty decent game. And defense.
You can pass.
I think right,
we'll come back. I'll come back to you guys. Let me give you my stars, and then we'll go to Chris for assists, then Jerry for assists, and my assists. I mentioned this earlier. Vince Young going against Seattle's defense. Vince Young will run all over him and possibly pass over him as well. That's probably the only time you're going to hear me say play Vince Young. I talked about Mike Sims-Walker having a big game against Cleveland. Torrey Holt may or may not play. Sims-Walker is coming back into the mix again, so he should get more looks. David Garrard, of course. I also like Mendenhall against Oakland's defense. That's 150, 200 yards, possibly, if he gets the ball going.
Mendenhall's going against Miami.
Oh, my bad. Excuse me. My bad. Ray Rice. McGahee, possibly. I also like Aaron Rodgers against that Arizona secondary. That's probably not that big of a deal to many people because he's a big star anyway, but I kind of like that. I also like Greg Olsen against Detroit. Jay Cutler surprised the hell out of me against freaking Minnesota, but I don't think I can't even pronounce that wide receiver's last name. I'm not even going to try. But I don't think he's going to be blowing by Detroit's cornerback.
Aroma Shadu.
There you go. Aroma Shadu.
Hester might come back this week, or he's supposed to.
He might not have a job. But we'll see. Johnny Knox should have a good game. And, of course, I said Roddy White. Play him. I like him. You touched on it earlier, Chris. Billy Volek against the Skins, possibly if he throws the ball more than 20 times. But I also like Jason Campbell to light up that San Diego secondary. I really do. Nothing really big on the horizon for anywhere else. Who is this? A shootout game. Shootout game. I have New England and Houston in a shootout. Can't say who's going to have a better game between the two, but Fred Taylor's back, so that means they're going to probably pound the ball a lot more. And Maroney might not be the starting running back anymore, fumbling the goal line, and they brought in Morris to do a lot more damage. So Morris, pick up Morris if you can. I'll let Chris go with his sit-ems and Jerry than myself.
Now, real quick, watch out again for Michael Tolbert because I think LaDainian is going to get rest, and I don't know how much Sproles is going to get. I would sit Michael Bush this week. I can't trust him.
Okay.
Let's see. You know who has been not? I wonder what Quentin Ganther is going to do all the way out there against San Diego.
If they give him the damn ball.
He's only gotten 8, 14, and 10 touches.
Yeah.
That's the carries.
Sit him.
Probably should sit Quentin Ganther. I wouldn't use him. You know who might do well at home with New England? Jerry, how is New England against the run?
New England's better against the run than they are against
right?
the pass.
Yeah. Okay. That's why I would say stay away from those Texas running backs.
Okay.
For this game. Okay, that's about it. And the receivers,
right.
It's too hard to call because you just don't know how long the quarterbacks are going to be in for some of them. I mean, look, is Revis going to shut down Chad? I don't know.
Yes.
Ooh-wee.
Well,
I'm making
a Jets
baby.
Fan, though. We know.
This is not coming from a Jets fan. This is coming from a football fan. If you look at the stats, every top flight receiver that Revis is going against, he shut him down. So
I know all of that. I'm just saying, this whole season, I've taken so much heat with Cowboys for you guys. I got to give you the business this week.
That's
and
okay, because I'm ready for it.
And boy, Vic, did he get sensitive.
I will say this. I will say this. Jerry, I didn't know if your pacemaker was going off or if, you know, you decided to take some Viagra. You got honorary there, boy.
I mean,
you've been honorary today. I like
Vic
it. I like that.
Vic almost hung up on you.
No, I did not. I'm not hung up on Jerry. At least naturally said something bad about my Skins.
I'll never say anything bad about my Skins. I have a son that is a diehard Skins fan, so.
Oh, now the truth comes out.
Oh, yeah. He thinks it's a
conspiracy. Why you waited all week for that upset pick to give me.
Jerry.
That they didn't even score a touchdown in. Oh, my God.
Jerry.
Yes.
He thinks it's a conspiracy. We'll let him think it's a conspiracy. I mean, it's okay. I have Assassin's Creed 2, and, you know, I'll let him play it so he'll learn about conspiracies and killing people, because.
What are you talking about? You guys are Jetskins now. Vic, said his son's a Redskins fan.
That doesn't mean that he is. It just means his son is.
It has nothing to do with it. He just said there's a bias there.
Chris?
That's coming from a paranoid Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
I'm a
Chris.
Paranoid Cowboys fan.
Woo-stop.
So you waited all week to give me your upset special, and look what happened. And now you have a son who's a Redskin fan. And you're a Jet fan.
Let Jerry do his sit-um.
Okay, my big sit-um, if you have him in your lineup, take him out, because he's going to be listed at the third-string quarterback. Drew Brees is not going to play this week.
Yeah, I mentioned that at the top of the show.
Okay, I didn't know if you did that. Also, I hate to tell you, Vic, but if you are Jason Campbell is in your roster, is on your lineup, and you're playing Week 17, I would sit Jason Campbell against San Diego.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what's your thoughts?
At the running back, I would definitely sit Ahmad Bradshaw, LT, Beanie Wells, all going against good run defenses. And I don't think LT is going to play that much. And Mark Bradshaw and Beanie Wells are not going to do well this week at all.
Okay.
And also in my wide receivers, let's see what I got here. Along with Drew Brees sitting, I would definitely sit Marcus Colston because I don't think he's going to play that much at all in this game against Tampa Bay. They're playing Tampa Bay, right?
Who?
New Orleans.
No.
Carolina.
Oh, they're playing Carolina. So Carolina's got a good pass defense anyway, and New Orleans is not going to be playing for that much. Sit Marcus Colston.
Okay.
Dallas Clark is a must sit also because he's definitely not going to play that much.
Nah, if at all. If at all.
And your favorite and Chris's favorite defense, the Giants, don't play them. If you have another option, do not play the Giants defense at Minnesota.
How is the Giants my favorite defense?
I don't like the Giants either, but I use them sometimes. But, I mean, I understand why you don't say that. I think Brett's going to light him up myself. And AP, he's looking for revenge. I mean, he's looking for redemption from that fumble that caused them the game. So I can understand that. And O.C. Human, you're talking about it's his last game as a Giant. He only played 3 snaps last week. I can't wait for him to become a burgundy and gold guy next year.
Not going to happen.
It will. Unrestricted free agency, baby. Your team and my team are the wealthiest teams in the damn league. We're going to buy everybody.
I'm telling you, I mean, you've tried that already. It doesn't work. We already said what you need to do. Fix your O-line and be quiet.
You need an offensive line in the worst way.
I know we do, but I don't mind getting O.C. Human Euro. I'll take O.C. Human Euro.
But he's not
leaving
the Giants. That's not happening.
He's leaving. All right, anyway. Sit-ems. My sit-ems.
Who cares?
Wow. Can Jerry get a boo for the first time?
That was great. That was great. Oh my God! Hold on, let me see if my thing works, dude. Cause I never. Is that? Hold on, hold on. All right, you're lucky it don't work. Cause
it's a new year. It's a new me.
Okay, Vic, I'm sorry, my thing didn't work, but I'm going to give him a verbal boo. Boo.
Vic, Jerry is due one boo next year when he comes on.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead with your
And I don't get one for pointing it out.
Nah, I can't make that. I can't make that, Dave.
Hey, remember the resolutions I gave you. There's more coming.
No. You only, hey, I told you, I wasn't going to dog your team until we change our coach. That's going to happen next week.
Just so you know, some of the resolutions are Vic is prohibited and banned from mentioning the Cowboys, and he can only reference the Redskins in the offseason once a week unless a major
coaching change happens, which is going to happen next week. So I'm not worried about that. I'm not banned from talking about the Cowboys. I'm banned from talking negatively about the Cowboys
Well, you've pushed the borderline a little bit. So
No. I talked good about your little team. You know,
we're not a little team, excuse me.
That backhanded slap.
That wasn't backhanded. This is backhanded. I mean, I'm glad they make the playoffs, but they'll be home with us next week, too. That would be backhanded, but I didn't say that.
You just did it.
No, I didn't. I said that would be. I didn't say that was it. That
you
would
said
be.
It. Can you just do your – you see what you started, Jay?
Yeah, I see that. My New Year's resolution is be a little bit more edgier. So
yeah, I've noticed. Oh,
well,
what's going to happen if playoffs? Oh, my God.
You're going to get a boo next week, Jerry. I'm surprised. You surprised me. Okay. Sit the Indianapolis Colts defense. I agree with Jerry on sitting Colston. But you never know. Mark Brunell doesn't have a deep arm. And he's not that accurate. And the ball comes out differently from a left-hander than a right-hander. So that might be an issue there. I would also venture to say that if you're going to sit somebody that's probably not going to do too well this week, Jamal Charles. Denver's got a point to make. And Jamal Charles is going to have a rough go of it. But I honestly think that Kansas City will give him a good game, even though Bowe and Chambers have no chance against Ty Law and Champ Bailey, none whatsoever. So I would sit those two completely. I'd also sit Kurt Warner. Green Bay has a very fierce defense, and Kurt's not going to play that much anyway because they have nothing to play for. They're going to rest them for the upcoming they don't have a bye. So they're going to play the first wild card game. That's why I think Larry Fitz isn't going to play that much. Anquan might not play that much, but Beaston will play a lot. Urbane will play a lot. I'd sit everybody on Seattle's team. I mean, I don't care who you are. TJ's done nothing. Sit the entire Seattle Seahawks team. Yeah, that's about it.
Let me give you this one. You just kind of touched on to it. You said you'd sit Jamal Charles, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Well, okay.
Against
Denver, I would definitely start No. Sean Marino because with Eddie Royal and Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall. Yeah.
I would probably start Kyle Orton too, because sit him and go with Eddie Royal because I mean that Denver is going to be a heavy run game. It has to be.
Well, it doesn't have to be, but
if those
you're
two
right.
guys are out,
you're
they're
right.
going to cover Jabbar Gaffney. Then
you're
maybe
right.
it's Brandon Stokley. Then who else catches the ball? The tight
Brandon
end.
Brandon Lloyd, Scaife, and
Scaife's not on Broncos.
No, he's on Tennessee.
Yes.
Not Bo Scaife. I'm sorry. Who is the tight end that
Daniels?
No.
Daniel Graham.
I know Daniel Graham, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about
Scheffler is inactive,
Scheffler.
Just like Brandon Marshall.
Really?
I'm telling
yes.
you.
I didn't know
Chiefs,
Scheffler was.
Watch the Chiefs win that one. That's an upset special, Chiefs.
It's a possibility. Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to be a good game. But anyway, that's why I said Jamal Charles sit him because I don't think he's going to stand a chance against that Denver defense.
Charles, in my opinion, is
mm-hmm.
going to be a number one, a low number one running back next year. And if you sit to Jamaal Charles, in my opinion, he's an every week play. He's going to get you 60, 70 yards and a touchdown almost every week.
Possibly, but I don't think he's going to do it this week.
He can catch the ball, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm not denying that. I'm just looking at the Denver Broncos defensive players and their personnel and stuff like that, and I really don't see him having that good of a game to start him in your championship, if this is your championship game. I just don't see that happening. But, you know, hey, like you said, it's your opinion, and I respect it, even though you get a boo next time. But that's
I'll
okay.
make sure I call in earlier so you can give it to me. How's that?
Do that. But anyway, let's pick the games real quick. Because I want to watch my MMA, and it's almost 2 in the morning here. So what do we got? All right, we're going to go Chris, Jerry, then me. We're going to start with Atlanta, Tampa Bay. They're favored by, Atlanta's favored by 1.
Give me the Falcons.
Same here, Falcons.
Falcons with the points. Chicago, Detroit. Chicago's favored by 3.
Bears.
The Bears.
Interesting game. We were talking about this, and it's sad, but the Cincinnati at the Jets. The Jets are favored by 10.
Favored. Oh man, my lord. Oh, I got indigestion. You kidding me?
No, I'm serious.
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh no. They're 10-point dogs. My bad. They're 10-point dogs.
Are we picking with points or without points?
You can do either or. I don't care. I usually pick mine with points.
You saying the points is just done.
It's up to you.
I'm taking the Bengals.
I'm taking the Jets.
You think the Jets going to cover 10?
They're not favored by 10. You said you're dogs by 10.
Yeah, they're not favored. They're favored to lose by 10. So you're saying they're going to cover the 10?
Absolutely. They're going to win the game.
Okay. Buffalo, Indy. Are you kidding me?
Who did you pick?
Oh, my bad. Cincinnati. I don't care if their second stringers are playing. I think they're going to beat the Jets. Indianapolis at Buffalo. Buffalo's a 9-point dog.
You know what? I'm taking Buffalo because I don't trust what's going on in that system. Colts, that is. Give me Buffalo.
Where are they playing at?
Buffalo.
I'll take Buffalo.
Same here because Colts are going to sit some people. Jayville at Cleveland. Cleveland is a 1-point dog.
Who?
Jacksonville. And Cleveland. That's okay, Jayville.
Wow.
Cleveland's a 1-point dog. So it really is it's a pick 'em game, actually.
That's a tough call. You know what? Is Jacksonville in playoff contention?
No.
Yes. When with the here's the situation, with a win coupled with a Jets loss and a Houston loss, they're in.
Okay, give me Jacksonville.
that's a Jet hating there, but that's okay.
Yeah, that was a hate the Jets pick.
I had no idea about that. I just
here's the deal here. Jacksonville is horrible against the road on the road. David Garrard and Michael Sims Walker are not going to have a good game in a cold Cleveland. Give me Cleveland.
I'll give you Cleveland and I'll give you death. I'm going to pick Jayville. All right. Now, this is shocking. New Orleans and Carolina, even.
I can believe that.
Pick them.
Oh, wow.
Somebody's looking at Law and Order. Who's looking at Law and Order? Oh, my
somebody
God.
Somebody's just calling me on my phone.
That's Jerry Orbeck. let's see. No Steve Smith. Who the heck's going to catch the ball? Moose?
There's only Moose Muhammad and Jarrett.
Dante Rosario. You know what? Matt Moore's got something to play for in that game because even...